This morning I was in, I left at Morgan Town around 6:20 a.m. and I went to Fort Ashby for the 9 o'clock mass. Fort Ashby is about 15 miles north of Cumberland. And from Fort Ashby I went to St. Anthony in Ridgely for 11:30 mass before coming down here. And I worked at both St. Anthony's in Ridgely and Fort Ashby in 2005 during the summer. And one of the things I did at the end of the summer was I had a revival on the mountain. And I invited a priest friend who joined me that day, and we had a program in the evening. And non-Catholics gathered for this revival. And we prayed for the people that they gathered, and many of them were slain in the spirit, and that was the first time many people saw Catholics being slain in the spirit. The very first lady that was slain in the spirit was like the second lady in the line. Immediately she went down. All the other Catholics remained on their seats. Nobody would get up to be prayed for. Until that woman was able to come back up, then the Catholics present had some confidence to go and be prayed for. At St. Anthony's, as I was standing waiting for to begin mass, one of the ladies, she would be probably in her late 70s, came to me. Maybe she saw me, she remembered my name, and I was surprised most of the people there remembered me by name. And she's like, "Oh, Father Baker, oh, so good to see you." You know, she was also excited. And I didn't know why she was really, really excited. And she said to me, she said, "You know, when that evening at the revival at the mountains, I want to say this to you. That evening, when Father Tony prayed and he breathed on me, I was slain in the spirit. And something happened thereafter. I had just been diagnosed with cancer in my spine. And since then, the cancer disappeared. They have been checking it every month since then, and it has not reoccurred." That was her testimony. She said, "I wanted you to know this, to hear this. It has not reoccurred. It's 5 years now. 5 years." So the Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit can do great things. This was not a story that was the story of my that I was going to begin my homily with. In August, I think it was when was the prayer rally? August? Yeah. In August there was a prayer rally, and I was supposed to that wasn't a prayer rally. The Diocesan Charismatic Conference. Yeah. And I was supposed to be saying the Saturday mass at that conference. A week before, I had these serious back neck pains. I mean, I was in so much pain. I went to the chiropractor and they did all the x-rays and all that, and they said, "You have a degenerative disc disorder and you are supposed to be on therapy and adjustments for 90 days. And, you know, she did all that was good and fine, and I was ready to go with that. I had a first adjustment and the second adjustment. By the third adjustment, I think it was the third adjustment, he called me in and I said, "Okay, this is what it's going to cost you for the 90 days. It's going to be $1,400 for the 90 days. And unfortunately, your insurance is only covering up to like $300-something. And I said, "So how am I going to pay for this?" He said, "Well, every week it's going to cost you $114 or $103. I said, "I don't have that kind of money. I'm not going to be able, this wasn't my budget, I'm not going to be able to pay $103 every week." I tried to talk them, you know, into breaking it to $50 a week, and we spread it out. And they weren't open to that. The lady says to me, "Well, you can come get the insurance to pay for a few more adjustments, and you will be, you know, they pay for a few more adjustments if you don't have the money." So I got back home that night, and I was talking to one of my friends about this, and I said, "You know, do I really need a chiropractor? God is my chiropractor." And I believe right now, and I'll say to my friend, I believe right now that God has healed me of this pain. And I believed it, and we got into prayer. We prayed for about 3 hours, and the pain disappeared in the course of the prayer. And I didn't want to go back to that chiropractor again to check me out and be sure if this pain actually disappeared. I said, I had a different chiropractor in Parkersburg. When I had an accident, she took care of me for about a year and all that. So I'm going to go back to her, have her do new x-rays, have her check me and confirm that I am okay. So I went back to Parkersburg about 2 weeks ago. And I said, I wanted to check you. You knew I was in this pain. You recommended a chiropractor for me. So I want you to check me. After you finish checking me, I am going to tell you something. So she put the scan and everything and started checking me. And she said, your neck, your spine has not been as straight as it is this way. It's perfect. You don't even need any work, no adjustment on it. So I asked her, I said, I wanted to look at my previous scans in the past. And she looked at the computer and she pulled out all the scans in the past. All my scans in the past were like this, but my standard width was all straight. And she said, I said, you know, I had a miracle, you know, God healed me. And she said, I believe it, you know, I believe it, you know. So God healed me. So that sometimes, as people of faith, we need to trust. When we ask, we need to believe. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. And I always say to people, God, when God promises us the Holy Spirit is not only going to help us spiritually, it will even help us save money. It helped me save $1,400. So the Holy Spirit, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing that it helps us spiritually. But it also helps us to save money, helps us with our everyday burden. When you run into a problem, instead of getting so worried about it, you just lay it down. Hand it over to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to take care of you. Ask Him to help you with this promise. I used to be somebody that worried a lot about things. I used to be very controlling. I used to micromanage my life, and I want to have control of every hour of my day or every minute of my day. Only I had my enlightenment about 3 Decembers ago, and it was part of my New Year's homily at St. Margaret Mary in Parkersburg. I said to the people that day, I said, I have suffered a lot, I have tried to control my life a lot, I am laying everything at this altar today, and I am going to give over the control, I'm going to let God be God. I am not going to try to control my life, I'm going to let God control alive. And I laid everything at the altar that day. That was a very significant moment in my life. Life has not been the same since that day. There is rarely anything that will make me have sleepless nights. No matter how great, no matter how big, no matter how troubling it is, I'm rest assured that I can go to bed and I will sleep very well, believing and trusting that God is going to care for me. God is going to take care of the situation. Because that is His promise to us, that He will go ahead of us and He will fight for us. He will go ahead of us, prepare the way, and He will take care of us. He said the same thing to His disciples and His apostles before He left. He knew they were going to be all so worried about what is going to happen to their faith now that He is gone. And He says to them, you don't need to be worried. Just relax. Don't worry. I am going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to do several things in your life. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you all you need to know. The Holy Spirit is going to comfort you in the times of your sorrow. So the Holy Spirit will be your comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to be your advocate. He's going to advocate for you. When you have no one to speak for you, the Holy Spirit Himself is going to speak for you. That is what should be our faith. When God makes promises to us, He doesn't go back on His word. He's faithful to His word.
We need to believe as Christian people that these promises that God has made to us will be fulfilled. The promise that He's going to teach us what we need to know. The promise that He's going to comfort us in our sorrow. The promise that He is going to advocate for us. We need to be assured of that.
There's a story I tell in my book, God's Plan for You, of someone who was applying for a job, and the boss's daughter, regional director, was also applying for that job. He came to me and he was also worried, and he didn't believe he was going to get the job, because how can he get a job when the boss's daughter is applying for that same job? And I said, well, you have only one boss. Your boss is in heaven. He's going to speak for you. He's going, if he wants you to have that job, you are going to have that job. The boss in heaven advocated for him, and he got that job. Sometimes we allow our human factors to create fear in our lives, and those fears hold us back from achieving or receiving the promises that have been made to us. We don't need to let fear hold us back. Fear is a crippling spirit. Fear is not from God. Fear is from the devil. You don't need to be afraid of anything, because who is in you is greater than who is in the world.
The person that is advocating for you is greater than any other human advocate. The teacher in you is greater than any other human teacher. The comforter in you is greater than any other human comforter. As Christian people, we have no one but God. We have absolutely no one but God. Human beings are going to fail you. Family members are going to fail you. But God will never fail you. And that's why it's important you don't put your trust in any human being. No matter how much that person tells you he or she loves you and will be there for you. That can be secondary. Your first trust must be in God. Your first trust must be in God. The reason some of us get so disappointed and sometimes we do not talk with family members, we have all these problems with family members, is because we have put our trust or our faith in them and they disappointed us. If we put our faith in God and only in God, when human beings disappoint us, we can always move ahead. We wouldn't let human disappointment hold us back. There's a reason that Jesus Christ left us with the Holy Spirit. He left us with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will help us. That's what I want to invite you today, to be open to the Holy Spirit. Wherever God's people are gathered, whenever God's people are gathered and they are open and they call upon the power of the Holy Spirit, great things are going to happen. The Spirit we are going to receive today is no different from the Spirit the apostles received on Pentecost Sunday. It's the same Spirit. Why are we not having the fullness of that Spirit in our lives today? It is because of fear. It is because of fear. I'm sure some of you are sitting here with nervous anxieties. You are wondering and you are all afraid, what is going to happen? Or sometimes when you are being prayed for, you become so tired because you want to control the situation. You want to be very conscious. You want to make sense of what is happening. Don't try to make sense of what is happening. You can't make sense of what is happening. People always try to say, you know, what is happening when somebody is slain in the spirit? I'm like, I can tell you, I don't know. But I know that there's something powerful happening in that person's life. So don't try to be too conscious and try to analyze everything that is happening. If you hear that voice telling you to begin to analyze, and instead of praying, instead of being open and you are trying to analyze, that voice is not from God. That voice is not from God. One thing I can assure you right now is that the enemy is not happy seeing us gathered here at this moment. He is not.
He's going to try to cause things not to work really, you know, not to work well, microphones not working, not finding the lunar, all that. But we will still go ahead. We will keep marching, march forward, because we have the Holy Spirit ahead of us. It was God's plan that Christian people will have a closer devotion to the Holy Spirit. That's something that we have not, most often in our lives, we've not really done. To have that close relationship with the Holy Spirit. If God did not want us to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit, He wouldn't have promised Him for us. Basically, as Catholics, we talk about God the Father, great. We talk about Jesus Christ, God the Son. Sometimes we tend to forget the Holy Spirit. Yet each one of them had a role. And when Jesus was living, He knew that the time has come for the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. It is that Spirit that was going to confirm the apostles in their faith. And He said, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. You will receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive this before you go out and begin to witness. We cannot be effective witnesses without a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be effective Christians, or we cannot live fully without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to live fully, to live the way God wants us to live. That is a promise of the Father to us. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. It is a promise of the Son to us. I will give you the Holy Spirit. Let us open ourselves to receive that Holy Spirit in our lives. And we do not only receive the Holy Spirit, but we also will go out and witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not one of those things here. You receive once and you say, you know, that is enough. As Stina always says, you know, she's been baptized in the Holy Spirit several times, so many times. You know, you always have to ask for more. You always have to ask for more. You always have to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you. I say this and I joke about it. Every day I keep asking God for the Holy Spirit because my body keeps leaking the Holy Spirit. So I need a refill. There's an attitude I want you to have this afternoon. Prophet Elijah was a very powerful prophet, one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. He did so many great things. So many great things he did. And Elisha, who was a young prophet following him, was going to take over from him. When Elijah died, and the prophet Elisha was going to begin his prophetic ministry, of all the things that Elisha could ask for, he said, I want a double portion of the Spirit Elijah had. In a way, he was being a little bit proud, a little bit just, you know, he didn't want to go little. Just, I want a double portion. God is not going to mind if you ask for a triple portion of the Spirit Elisha had. He has a lot of it. He wants to pour it out to us. He has enough, more than enough. So if you ask for a triple portion or a quadruple portion, you are not asking for too much. In fact, He's so happy to pour it out to you. He's so happy to give it out to you. So that's the attitude I want us to have this afternoon. We have the attitude like Elisha said, I want a double portion, I want a triple portion. In the New Testament, there were quite some powerful apostles as well. We are told that so much wonders, after the apostles tells us, so much wonders were wrought through the hands of Peter and John, that when Peter passed through the street, people lay by the side of the street so that his shadow would heal them. That is the kind of spirit we want. I want to challenge you. Ask for a triple portion of that kind of spirit that Peter had.
That when by just walking by, even if your club touches somebody, that person will receive healing. It's possible. You just have to have the faith. That sometimes without even saying a word, without even lifting your hands to pray for someone, just by a handshake, someone will receive healing through you. Ask for that spirit. He's going to give it to you. Ask for the spirit, the powerful spirit, so that even by seeing someone who's in trouble, you can tell that person, these are my troubles, and tell that person how he or she can receive healing, mental, physical, spiritual healing. Or you can see somebody who is going through difficulties and hiding those difficulties. You'll be able to say, look, you are going through this difficulty. This is the solution God has for you. That's the kind of spirit you should be asking for. But always remember, this is not for your own glory. If you want to do this for your glory, I assure you are walking out of this room without anything. God is not going to give it to you if you're going to use it for your own personal glory. What you ask for, tell him, it is for the glory of his name. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name. Give the glory. Tell him this is not, and believe me, this is not for building up your own personal kingdom, for building up your own secular being. This is for building up the kingdom of God. If you have the right attitude and you are open to the Spirit, God is going to pour in abundantly upon you. And now when you receive the Spirit, the fear is not going to go away. You might get back home and begin to question everything that happened. Try to analyze everything that happened. Begin to doubt. Begin to say, oh, maybe I was pushed down or something. The fear is not going to go away. The devil is not going to go away. Because as you walk out of this room today, he is even going to feel more threatened. Because his kingdom is at risk. Whenever one person goes against his kingdom, he is not happy. And he knows that we are going to walk out of here going against his kingdom. So he's facing a lot of threats today. So he's waiting right out there for us. I know right now he cannot enter in here because right now this church has been sealed with the blood of Jesus. And God has set his Holy Ghost fire around this church right now. So he can't even dare come close right now. But he's going to wait for us. He's going to put that fear in us. You might receive the gift of healing, and God is going to send you somebody to heal. At that very moment, he's going to creep in, and you will hear these voices in your head. Don't say nothing is going to happen. And you'll begin to make you feel like you've been embarrassed by the whole situation. When you hear those voices, just say to him, get behind me, Satan. Don't try to negotiate with him. Will me. Do not try to negotiate with the devil. You are not going to win that argument. The only language he hears is powerless. Get behind me, Satan. I have nothing to do with you. I have been consecrated. I have been anointed. And my name is signed in the book of life. I have nothing to do with you. That is the only language that he hears. And again, you are not doing it in your name. You are doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you have to continue to seal yourself with the precious blood of Jesus every day. You have to continue to set the Holy Ghost fire around you every day. As you walk out of the house, as you go to bed, you have to constantly seal yourself with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God won that battle with the devil, and we can win that battle. So when God sends somebody to pray for, and they hear those voices, get behind me, Satan.
stretch your hand upon that person and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree you healed.
That's what you should do.
And I'm sure in your mind the question would be, what if I say that and nothing happens? I will look foolish, right?
You are not going to look foolish.
You will look foolish if you feel that this is about you. If you feel that you are doing it in your own power, you will look foolish. If you know that you are not doing it in your own power, if nothing happens, praise God. If something happens, praise God. Not to us, God, but to your name, Jesus, Lord. So do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid to witness. That's what the apostles did. Sometimes when I receive a word of prophecy, do not be afraid to say it out. Speak it. If it doesn't come to pass, that's okay. But speak it. You will not know you have the gift of healing until you place your hands upon somebody who is sick and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree you healed. I'll be healed. That's how the apostles pray. Read the New Testament, read Acts of the Apostles, read what happened. When the apostles were confronted with people that were sick, they didn't start praying or they didn't start saying, you know, God, please, if it's your will, please, God, you know, if it's your will. I always say this, you know, people hide around us, and like, God, if it's your will. If nothing happens, we say, ah, it wasn't God's will. But what we are trying to do is, we don't have faith. But we are not very sure. So, hey, God, if it's your will, you know, make this happen, if it's not your will, you know, and all that. We don't have that boldness to say, be healed. That's how the apostles pray. Let's look after the apostles and see when they were confronted with someone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be healed. Silver or gold I do not have. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Get up and walk. Pray with boldness. Because the spirit we've received, as St. Paul tells us, is not the spirit of timidity. The spirit we are going to receive is not the spirit of timidity. It's the spirit of boldness. We can ask boldly. We don't go to the Father crawling. Say, please, Lord, we are not beggars. We are not. We don't go before God begging. We go before God as sons and daughters. Because as he says, St. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, the Spirit himself enables us to call God our Father. That's the Spirit we've received. That's the Spirit we're going to receive here this afternoon. The big thing, again, I'm going to repeat this, the big thing you need to watch out for is fear. I can say that from my experience. It happened several times. When I tried to pray for people and I had this fear crippling me, man. Crippling me. Sometimes I allow that fear to overcome me. And at times I do not allow that fear to overcome me. Great things always happen. God always works his miracles. Also, the second thing I want to mention, never miss an opportunity. Pray for someone with faith. Don't give excuses. Sometimes we do that. Oh, I'm not really ready. Somebody asked me, please, can you pray for me? Oh, I'm not really ready for this. I was not really prepared for this. How many times in the Bible did you see the apostles when they were confronted with the sick and they said, excuse me, I need to go prepare first. I need to go write down a prayer first. Because sometimes God is sending us people at a specific time. And we need to use that opportunity to
to minister God's gospel to them. So we can't fall back, we can't excuse ourselves. Always accept every opportunity that God has given to you. Again, the big one is fear. If anything is going to hold you back, if anything is going to overwhelm you, if anything is going to prevent you from exercising fully the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is going to be fear. As I was praying about this yesterday at Mass, I was celebrating Mass in the morning, God gave me a particular message on how this baptism of the Holy Spirit should be done today. I always tell people, they say, what is going to happen during the baptism of the Spirit? I say, I don't know. I don't try to plan these things. I just let him, do whatever he wants to do. And what we're going to do today, we're going to do the prayers after communion. But what is going to happen is, there's going to be the monstrance at the altar with Jesus Christ present in it. He is the one who promised to give to us the Holy Spirit. And what God wants every one of us to do is, we'll approach that monstrance. You can kneel, you can lie, you can stand, whatever way you find comfortable, will approach it, and you're going to lay all your burdens there. You're going to let go and let God be God. That's the very first thing you're going to do. So you're going to leave your burdens and everything, your fears and everything there. The second thing you're going to do, you're going to ask God for a specific gift. You're going to ask Him to give you a specific gift. Again, not for your glory, but for the glory of God. But before we do go to the monstrance, we're going to renew our baptismal promises. And we're going to say a prayer, renewing all of our baptismal promises. So this is a procedure. We're going to do that, say a prayer, renewing all of our baptismal promises. And when we are finished doing that, I just feel like getting this message and changing everything. Originally, I thought we're going to do the commitment prayer at the time we do our baptismal, we renew our baptismal promises. But I just got a message that said everybody will first go through and lay their burdens before Jesus Christ at the tabernacle, at the monstrance. And then when that is done, we'll all say a prayer of commitment. I'll lead in a prayer of commitment. And I'll say a general prayer for you before each one of us will be prayed for. So that's the procedure. That's the way I believe God wants us to do this today. Is it going to go that way? I want to think so. Things can still change in the course of the Mass. But right now, that's what I think I've received from Him. That's what I think He wants us to do.